Bang! What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of the Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one spot for geek and gamery, brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Vast GG, Energy Esports, San Francisco Shock, and today, Jax Urban Eats, thanks to Curtis Fisher. What is going on, my friend?
Yo, I'm just enjoying this Jax. You know, they're sponsoring my dinner tonight. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's only right that we show them some props. But hey, man, I'm alive. I'm here. I'm ready.
You ready? Let's go. Episode 499.
Yep.
That's a lot. That means the next episode is 500.
This is true. If you can count, that is correct.
If you've seen an episode of Sesame Street,
that's right.
You know what's coming.
He double checked our math, and that is David Webb. What is up?
What is up, dude? The day we land Jax Urban Eats as a sponsor, like, I'm gonna feel like we made it. Like, that's our peak.
It could be very well. Jax Urban Eats, not an official sponsor, but make a damn good salad.
They make a good salad. They make a good sandwich. They make good fries.
They make a good everything. And you know who else makes a good everything? Nexus Was Here is here. What's up, Nexi?
I don't think that's true, but thank you.
I'm
here. I'm doing.
You are exploring the personality types, which I find fascinating because I'm infatuated with the 16 personality types. What have you learned about yourself?
I learned I am an INFP. And okay. There's only 4% of the population that is that personality type, and I'm realizing that all of my crazy thoughts and all of my very obscure ways of life are shared with 4% of the population. So that's reassuring and also incredibly lonely. But
of
we're
the,
here.
The country's population, like the nation's or the world's population.
I'm pretty sure it's world or what they've just analyzed, so I don't know.
David, have you done this personality? Have you done one of these?
I have. I did do it, and I'm a IS something.
IS something.
IS something. let me pull it up because I know I tweeted it out because you and Nexi were talking about it on Twitter today.
Yeah,
and I felt left out. ISFJ.
ISFJ. I know I'm -T for turbulent, like a like a winter flight over the Colorado Rockies. ISFJ-T.
And what does that mean for you?
That means that I'm introverted and other things. I know I'm in good company, though, because I got Halle Berry, Beyonce, Catelyn Stark.
You know what? I was going to say, every time I've ever hung out with you, I get Beyonce vibes.
I'm Queen Bee right here.
Interesting.
Me and the Beehive.
Slay,
Bey, like
slay.
This.
Yeah. Curtis, have you ever done the 16 personality types test?
Yeah, I've done it.
Do you believe in this voodoo?
I have used it and I have seen results. There is a particular place where I employ this type of information and whatnot, but I can't stand them. I tend to hate things and rebel against things that box me in or people in.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're a bad thing necessarily. Like I say, I have a place where I use them, but I'm just a rebel. I hate like the second that someone thinks that like they got me figured out, I always just love to do something totally.
Which oddly enough is exactly what your personality type description probably says.
Oh, I'm sure. And that's probably exactly it. So now I'm going to do the other thing and totally be that. I'll just be the first thing. I'm always changing.
I got ENTP on
ENTP?
Mine. Yeah.
Okay, what is that?
I got ENTP. They got built for that. Yeah. I saw an ad for
There's
it earlier
There's a lot
today.
Of medication required to be an ENTP,
actually. Is that right?
Yeah.
What are the side effects?
Side effects.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't tell you anything that people listening to the show don't already know. Doesn't really think before you talk. Mm-hmm. Kind of procrastinates on stuff. It's usually pretty loud.
Word.
But super interesting. So like we said, this is episode 499, which means 500 is right around the corner. And we've been sitting on this one for a while. But in the next episode, we're going to record both of them in the same day. So if you're watching right here on Twitch, you are in for a treat. You're going to get a double dose of bang. You're going to get this episode, and then you're going to get episode 500 featuring special guests. I can freely announce these ones. Mega Ran, who is a nerdcore hip-hop artist. He is an OG. We had another one before. Who did we have?
I almost said MC Hammer, but that's
not... MC Lars.
Yeah, there we go. Oh yeah, because they come when they say Mick Lars, and that's not right.
MC Lars.
MC Lars. Yeah, which he's a good friend of Megaran. They go on tours and stuff.
They go on worldwide tours together. So we're gonna have Megaran, and then Janice Davis returns to our humble little podcast here. Janice was our very first guest, and I feel like it was fitting to have her on episode 500. Another bomb we're about to drop is that we're going to be debuting our brand new Video Game Bang theme song.
Whoop, whoop.
Super exciting. Thank you, Kyle McGuire, who made the original Video Game Bang theme song. We put that one to task. We played that a lot, you know, and we're thankful for that. But Megaran collaborated with the VGB, and we have a brand new theme song we can't wait to debut. So don't miss that one. That's going to come out this Saturday, along with some other special little surprises we're going to sprinkle in there. So we have a lot to cover in not so much time. So without any further ado,
Emma.
Emma. Emma. Emma. Oh my gosh, I hate this so much. Why is this so long? This is way too long.
Except it's David this time. So.
Yeah, I tried to like comment like her because I wanted to feel like it was still like the right segment.
The essence of Emma.
The essence of Emma. So everyone could go suck
See,
a dick.
I didn't get Emma. I got Beyonce again.
You got Beyonce again?
Yeah. Really thought it was Beyonce.
People often confuse Emma with Beyonce, so don't worry.
All the time.
He didn't harmonize enough with the song to be Beyonce.
Ooh.
Wow. First of all, rude. Second of all, accurate. And third, rude again. All right, so right off the bat, let's talk about the Twitch launching subscriber only streams.
So hot topic.
Hot topic. And my favorite meme that's been going around about this is like, oh, I see. So Twitch is just taking a page out of cam sites and doing sub only streams now.
Essentially. Yeah. Not. I mean, I wouldn't know anything about those websites. But,
nobody here does. But no. The thing that is crazy is I saw somebody tweet about this, and it's a good point. Like, everyone's up in arms about, and comparing it to that. And they're like, no, guys, just because the subscriber only doesn't mean that they don't have to abide by TOS. Like, there's not going to be like nude streams happening. Like, it's still TOS. You just have to be a subscriber to watch. Like,
yeah.
It's really, from that aspect, it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, so there's going to be a new feature where partners are going to be able to, I'm sure it's starting out with partners and then eventually going to come down to affiliates. They're going to be able to set their stream to subscriber only, which, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of cool. I don't understand the appeal of it. I mean, do you guys think that there's a benefit to doing that?
I'm 100% for it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I said that really accusingly. Really? You do? Explain yourself.
I will. That's what I'm here to do. I'm pretty sure. But I'm definitely for subscriber-only streams because exclusive content, exclusive paid-for content, it's already a thing. Like, this isn't new. You have Patreon, you have OnlyFans, you have all these different things that you can help, not help, but you can
support.
Give thank you to the people who financially support your content. So for people to be freaking out about subscriber-only streams, it's just like, well... Like, unless a person abuses it and only, like, exclusively to subscriber-only streams, then that's kind of bull. But for people to do, like a hey, this is just, like, a once or twice a month thank you stream to my subscribers, because literally we wouldn't be doing the streams that we do if it wasn't for the financial support, because we need to upgrade our streams, the quality, all of that. So it's just a thank you, and I completely, like, I'm down for it.
I think the issue here was Twitch's announcement and delivery of this new product, because 2 days ago I received an email. Our channel is partnered, so we get emails every once in a while kind of giving us new features, and one came in the inbox and was like, hey, you're invited to go to a special webinar where we're going to unveil this new thing. And then the next day it was like, okay, wait a minute. There was a technical difficulty and the webinar has been canceled. And then the third day, it turns out that it was this subscriber feature. Mm-hmm. So you build up this hype of this brand new exciting feature and it's basically follower only mode except limited to subs. Like, how long did it take you to engineer this? I'm sure it wasn't, because you already had the technology before.
Right.
Except now you're just limiting it to subs. And so they made a huge deal out of this. If they would have just released this as a feature and put it, buried it in the patch notes and told a few people about it and let it spread organically, would have been way different. I'm kind of with Nexi. It's a feature. It's there. It's cool. Whatever. For some communities, it'll work great. For channels, you know, for most, I'd say probably 95% of the channels, it's probably not going to be a useful or handy feature. Right.
I think it's going to be useful for the 5% that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, from streaming on Twitch a month. And they can, you know, they can say, yeah, we'll just do a sub-only thing. Because then people are going to want to sub to them so they could don't miss a stream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the average Twitch streamer, I see that. We do have a retraction on this already. It is automatically for Twitch affiliated and partnered creators.
I think the only thing is you have to have a clean account
for 90 days. Yeah. You can't have any infractions for the past 90 days on that account. Hi, so you.
GG us.
Yeah.
We're not going to be using this feature anytime soon.
we have infractions?
I mean, some of those streams that I do alone get a little nude. Let's put it that way.
You couldn't think of an innuendo, could you? You just went straight for it.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to beat around the bush. Yeah. No, we
got banned for that once, too.
We're beating around the bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to watch out for that TOS.
Yeah. So we got more Twitch news.
News, and this one is shocking, you guys. This is probably one of the most shocking stories that we're going to talk about tonight. Dr. Disrespect is back on Twitch.
Whoa! 2 weeks! 15 days!
It was insane. How could this... This is ridiculous.
Why just in time for sub-only streams. Good for him.
Oh, I didn't even put two and two together.
Well, if he has an infraction on his channel, unless that gets reset after he's banned.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
But
it's true. Reset. I'm sure it's reset.
I only have one question. Why did it take so long?
Wow.
Right.
So those of you who have been living under a rock, Dr. Disrespect, a very prominent Twitch streamer, was banned and kicked out of E3 for doing a Twitch stream where he went into the public bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
At the convention and filmed people in the bathroom, and there was a child in there.
There was a minor at the urinal.
So
and this is illegal.
Follow me here. If the worst had happened, and he was in the camera and someone had exposed themselves, do we think it still would have been the same 14-day ban?
No.
Or do we think he just got lucky and things just, they were able to slide this under the rug?
I don't think it would have been the same 14 ban. I think it would have been 21 days.
I was going to say 30, but that was giving too much credit.
That's too much credit. No. Okay, I'm not even really, I don't think he should be back on. He broke a law. Mm-hmm. He literally broke a law
on stream.
Yeah. On stream, I do not think he should be back on. But what is worse for me about this is that there are people who have done far less and have been permabanned.
Yeah,
and he's only back on because he makes Twitch money. That's the only reason they let him back on. And it's just, to me, it brings like lack of credit to Twitch. Like, it makes me not trust Twitch more than already, and I'm saying that as I'm streaming on Twitch, so Twitch, deal with it. Now we have an infraction, guys.
Yeah, now we're not going to be able to use sub-only streams.
It's ridiculous. The article I'm looking at now from Kotaku is saying how he wasn't even taking it seriously, to be honest. He knew. He's like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I got banned. What am I going to do now?
He's the cat with 9 lives on Twitch. He's the golden child. I don't know why he gets such preferential treatment. The sad thing is I actually enjoy his streams, though. His persona is pretty funny. And I enjoy seeing him get owned as well. Like,
yeah.
He put out, like, he likes to put out stupid tweets to rile people up. And one of them was, you know, mobile gamers aren't real gamers.
Oh my God, that.
Ooh. Yeah.
Right before he got banned. And the number one, like, upvoted comment on that was, cheating husbands aren't real husbands.
Oh, man. That's what made me see the original tweet. So I don't follow him.
I want to see his.
I was like, shit.
That's a fucking roast.
Holy crap.
But you got to dish it out and take it, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be out there and be Dr. Disrespect, you got to be ready for everything. And
you got to be disrespected.
Yeah, get ready. So I don't know. I don't agree with the reversal. What do you think, Curtis?
The reversal, 2 weeks is too short, in my personal opinion. I'm thinking about it now, I probably wouldn't go for the permaban, personally myself, but I would have made it something closer to like 90 days.
Definitely. You know, I don't think
maybe even half a year.
I agree with you. I don't think it should have been a permaban.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, like, because I know, well, part of the thing that I'm thinking about is like, okay, the punishment, you know, you're a larger streamer, so you depend on more of the income because you generate more of it faster. Like, so every day that you're not on, you lose money. So he lost 2 weeks of revenue, which is probably tons for him.
Yeah.
So putting something like 90 days, I think, would have been a little bit closer to like him feeling the crunch of some of them bills for some of the stuff that his lifestyle has started to afford.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No Jack's Urban Eats for him.
None.
He's going back to Mickey D's.
That's right.
You know what? I get that. But at the same time, like us average Joes that do have like a 9-to-5 job, if you screw up at your job and you get fired and you deal with the bills and stuff, that's it. That's life. Don't screw up. Like, think before you do stuff, and like you won't have to worry about that. So I don't know. To me, I think I think he should have been permabanned. I think he has plenty of money. He would have been fine before he inevitably went to, you know, Facebook Gaming, gave him a huge fat contract to come over there,
right?
Because then that would draw so many people over to Facebook Gaming or YouTube Gaming, you know, get revived because, you know, he's back on there. And
well, you know, that's part of the reason why the ban didn't work longer, because they know if they kept him away for too long, then that's exactly what
I'm sure people were fishing around.
What I want to figure out is what happened on the legal standpoint, because it wasn't just a single time that he went into the bathroom. I'm fairly certain he went in 3 times, and then one time there was a minor. That makes it so much worse. So how did they handle this legal situation? How did he not get in so much trouble?
My guesstimation, as someone who has family members in law enforcement, is, you know, you got to look at the person's priors. Like, when it comes to stuff like that, they're always talking about priors, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the more of a history he would have had, the more severe his punishment. But if he hadn't done very much since then, and especially, you know, and I'm glad the minor didn't get exposed, but if the minor had been exposed, then we know it would have been a more serious crime.
That would have been perma.
Yeah.
That would have been a huge, and financial, I mean, like,
you have been fine.
Law issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But but for a not, you know, now we're talking about law and the wholeness of the law, right? So things as terrible as murders and things as low as parking tickets.
Yeah.
In the scheme of that, it's a nonviolent crime, and our prisons are already packed enough. I don't think they're going
to probably would just had to introduce himself to his neighbors.
Yeah. At the most, like Jesus from Lebowski.
Exactly. One example of him not taking it very seriously was the title of his E3 recap video was Mishaps Lead to Recaps.
Yeah, exactly.
And said one fan about him returning, all other channels are shaking in their boots over Doc's return. The face of Twitch is back.
Of course.
Twitch is lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So let's get back into some more cheerful news. The Steam summer sale's on, everybody.
Let's go.
Pull out your wallets, get your credit cards on the table. Let's buy some new video games.
Cries of the broke.
Yeah. The cries of the broke are heard across the nation. So we got a story here from Polycom talking about the Steam summer sale, which we have every year. Some good titles that you could pick up. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is $30 off. You got it for $29.99 right now.
Okay.
PUBG. I didn't know PUBG even had to pay.
Yeah, that's a paid game there.
Wow. Yeah. No, it's $15 right now.
What is it normally? Isn't it like 19?
It's 30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a $30 game.
That much.
Holy crap. Skyrim is still a $39.99 game. You can buy it right now for $20.
Is that like a different version? VR maybe?
Nope, just Skyrim.
Really?
Yeah.
Straight Skyrim is a $40 game. You can buy it for $20 right now. Half-Life, 99 cents.
That's to be expected. That's the one that's that one really goes on sale. I think one of the more interesting ones that any PC gamers who haven't experienced it, Curtis, would be the Borderlands Handsome Jack Collection.
Yeah, okay.
That's like everything that says Borderlands, from the Telltale games, I believe, to like everything.
Everything.
1, 2, 3.
How much?
Less than $5. I can't remember the exact price on that one. I'll do a price check as David continues.
Oh, holy crap! The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt game, Game of the Year edition, $15 right now, $35 off.
Wow.
I actually might cop that. Stardew Valley is $12 right now.
Ooh, that's a good pickup.
And Monster Hunter World is $30 right now. Yeah. It's a half off.
Okay.
So this is what you get. This is the Handsome Jack collection for Borderlands. It's usually $169. It's 97% off, so you can get it for $5. Comes with Borderlands 2, all of the DLC, which is, there was a lot for that game. What else does it come with? There's literally pages of content. Oh, it's not showing me all of it because I already bought this before. It's got the pre-sequel, all of its content, everything.
You get the first one in that?
I believe so.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, it's super worth. Pick that one up. What else was on there?
We're going to jump back to some controversy.
Okay.
Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony have joined forces against the government.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've wanted to hear.
Against Trump's tariffs on China. They're coming out and they're saying, like, okay, we understand the idea behind this, protecting, you know, American intellectual property, but you realize we're going to have to pass this on to consumers, right? So it's going to go up. Expect console prices from the big three to go up about 25%. That's how much the tariffs are going up for them, so they're just passing it along to us.
25%?
25%.
What's that look like calculated out?
250 times 0.25.
Yep, 0.25.
That's what it looks like calculated out.
So, okay, so how much is a Xbox One S?
250.
250?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be an increase of like $62.
There you go.
Yep. And it would now be like $312.50. So
jeez.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's significant.
And there's more. It's probably going to put at risk upwards of 220,000 American jobs, which is insane. And we were talking about this before this show. We talked a few months ago about a game developer who had an amazing year and laid off half their staff.
Yeah.
Can you imagine when they actually have to start paying more money and their overhead goes up, what's going to happen to jobs? It's insane. The ramifications for this is ridiculous. And I think that although we have seen an increase in people being more, especially in our generation, being more interested in politics, I think that this really kind of drives it home for more of them. Like, your gaming that you think is the furthest removed
from politics. Yeah, you play games to escape politics.
Is now being ripped into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
The margins on consoles are already really bad. Like, they lose money on the consoles to make money on the software.
Yep,
100%. What's kind of the way the industry's worked. And so this is going to be just another barrier to entry because they're already so expensive these days. Yeah. Even the cheap ones. And then this is going to affect all of the console makers. So it's really rare to see these three work together for anything.
Yeah.
I wish it could have been under cooler circumstances or something.
Crossplay.
Yeah.
Sony, we're looking at you.
Hey, maybe like as long as they're in a meeting and they're like writing down this memo to the president and be like, hey, Sony, what's the deal?
Nah.
Sony,
you see how well we work together on this?
They lock the door and then they bring a banner down that just says like intervention.
Yeah.
In Sony,
we need to talk.
All right. So keeping up with some. I don't know if it's even so controversial, to be honest, at this point. It's just par for the course. EA calls its loot boxes surprise mechanics, using them ethically. So we had one of the vice presidents of EA get called before Parliament in the United Kingdom. And for those of you that don't know, it's kind of like our Congress.
I didn't know that.
Video games and government, again.
Video games and government. We have a theme. Episode 499, Video Games and Government. Yeah. Emma's going to be pissed she missed this episode. And she's probably listening right now saying, oh my god, you guys are saying all the wrong things right now. So basically Parliament called up Carrie Hopkins, Vice President of Legal and Government Affairs at EA, to just talk about loot boxes. It's still going on from, you know, back when they had released in 2017 Battlefront 2. Star Wars Battlefront 2, and they had big controversy.
That one
right?
was awful. But you could unlock all the stuff without, you know, the loot boxes. It would just take you like 400 hours of grinding
something
the game.
Crazy like that. Yeah. And so that really kind of opened the eyes of like not only people but governments two loot boxes, and it started being, you know, compared to gambling, and there was started becoming illegal, and countries started outlawing them, and so this whole thing is still going on. And so they asked Hopkins if she had any ethical qualms about loot boxes, and her response was comparing loot boxes to other products like Kinder Eggs, which, if you don't know, is a chocolate treat with a toy inside its center, and Hatchimals, a blind box style toy hidden inside an egg. Said Hopkins, people like surprises, she said, but the comparison to Kinder Eggs was ironic given the fact that those are banned in the U.S. up until very recently, much like loot boxes were banned in other countries. So,
yeah, not the comparison I think you want to draw.
No, I think her copy editors took a vacation that day. Nobody was like, you might want to change this.
Loot boxes remind me of like those stuffed animal machines with the arm, like the crane.
The claw machine.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, I see something I want. And then you always know that you're not going to get it. It doesn't matter how good of an angle you got, and then you hit that button and it goes down to grab it. Most of the time you get nothing. And when you do get something, it's never what you want.
Exactly.
But my thing is, I'll say this, because I'm not against what they're looking into with the loot boxes and stuff like that. But okay, compare it to gambling, sure. But does anybody put a gun to anybody's head and make them walk into a casino?
No.
No, it's true.
Well, unless you're in the movie Casino.
And that's the rare exception.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to get them off the hook. But to me, it's like part of it is like show them that you're not cool with it. Stop paying for this stuff. Stop buying it.
I think the problem, though,
but they can't because they're addicted, Curtis.
Oh, that's right, they're addicted.
That's where they gotta make them illegal.
Remember the video game addiction?
Yeah.
Or the disorder, whatever. We talked about two weeks ago.
I forgot about that.
I think the big problem comes into play when it becomes a pay-to-win scenario. Like, yes, you can grind and you can get the weapons, you can get the stuff that actually helps you.
Yeah.
Or you could pay right now and get it, and those that pay right now to get it have unfair advantage, or they have an advantage over those who aren't paying right now and are taking the time to grind, and that's where it starts getting frustrating.
Okay, so that's where you would say that it wouldn't be as ethical, because you don't have to pay to win, but if you do pay to win, then you have an advantage.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, which I could see. Okay, you got an advantage, you cop some stuff, XYZ, but like I guess. And again, I'm not that I'm for them, but I always look at both sides. I look at, hey, you guys are responsible for XYZ, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Right.
And I mean, like, we all are pretty familiar with corporations, right? They're not charities. This is very true. This is something that I expect from them. And, you know, obviously litigation is one way to, you know, get that removed. But the other way, also power to the people, right? Power to the people. The people got to get together more too, because people are divided. There's some people that don't mind spending money on it. Like, even for me, I have disposable income. Like, I've bought packs of cards for the My Team thing.
Yeah.
And most of the time I didn't get the player I was looking for, but I knew that I'm spending my money on it. And I don't have to, but I want to. And when funds are low and I shouldn't, I don't.
Yeah.
And when I got a little bit of money and I could, I do. Because the way that I view a lot of this stuff, especially like 2K, 2K's coming up, that's like a big one, right? The way I look at it is me putting my money into it, I'm not necessarily paying for what they may give me. I'm literally just paying it for my enjoyment of the game. If there's a little something that helps it boost it, cool. Because even in 2K, I mean, in other games are different, obviously. 2K isn't the other one, but you can buy whatever you want, and you can still get whooped by a 66 who got on the brown shirt and the gray shoes.
Well, you know? Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I think where the difference is when you have games are, it's loot boxes. You can buy loot boxes, and it's strictly cosmetic.
Yeah.
Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could buy as many loot boxes as you want. All you're going to get is a different skin. It's not going to give you an advantage in the game in the slightest.
I think that's a distinction that kind of needs to be made, too. Because, skins, no advantage, totally cosmetic.
Right.
And then other things like in 2K, you can, if you got enough VC early on, you can buy and get yourself to a certain level. They're kind of a little smart in it because they put things that kind of, like, you can't buy all the way to 99. No one can. You can't buy and be the best. Right. You can have a slight advantage, but that's, I would like to see it key in a little bit more specifically, because the flip side, what I don't want to happen is that we can't buy clothes and stuff like that inside of the game, because I like dressing up my character and whatnot, you know?
Well, right. I think their issue is with the surprise mechanics aspect of it, to where you're spending money And not knowing what you're going to get.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't think there's an issue if, like...
Microtransactions and loot boxes are two different things.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think microtransactions are fine. I think a real surprise mechanic would be, like, in 2K when you get to spin the wheel every day.
Yeah.
You know, you get the daily spin.
Right. Which you don't pay for.
Yeah, which you don't pay for. It's free. And that, like, stuff like that I think is cool. But I think it's when you start getting into the battlefield and, like, what they were saying, the FIFA game.
Right.
Like, that's a world game. It's way more popular outside of the United States than it is in here.
Definitely. Yep.
And you have to buy packs of player cards, basically, to get in, which is like buying a pack of Magic cards.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and see, and that's like, what I was, that's the other thing that I was relating it to, because in 2K, it's literally a pack of cards. And you buy it, and same thing when you bought those cards. Like, you didn't know what you was going to get in there. Every now and then they'd be like, you know, everybody's guaranteed a such and such, but you didn't know. So I guess that's my kind of thing I'm pushing back on. It's like, if you know that you don't know what you're going to get when you spend your money,
that's a surprise. And
that's the flip side of it. Is like, okay, do we need to be hand-holding people and, you know, regulating whether they spend their money on video games or not? Like, that's where, like, there's a balance there. One quote I wanted to throw out there from this article, because I think it's hilarious considering this conversation right here, is that they are saying it's the company prefers to call loot boxes surprise mechanics and argue that their use in EA games is, quote, quite ethical and quite fun and enjoyable to people.
You know, if you need to say that, you know what? This is quite fun. This is quite
enjoyable.
Trust me. And did I mention it's ethical as well?
Yeah. Like, BT Dubs. It's ethical as hell.
Okay, but let me ask that for a minute. What like is buying, like, because cards are becoming popular again? Physical. And then, like you said, Magic the Gathering. Is Magic the Gathering unethical?
That's what I'm saying. Like. Hearthstone,
like, Pokemon,
yeah. Like,
are those unethical?
There is a thrill in buying a pack of Magic cards and not knowing what you're going to get, even though it's such a small chance you're going to get that one card.
Right.
Even if you get like a Gutter Bones in there, and you're just like, I really hate this. Right. I don't want it, but I'm gonna keep buying packs.
Right, and that's the other thing too to remember. Well, I don't know for FIFA per se, because I don't play FIFA. But in 2K, same thing. If I get a pack of cards and like I already have some of the cards or whatever, I can put them on the market and I can sell the card, or I could trade the card and get something different in response. So that's kind of my thing. Again, like if loot boxes went away tomorrow, you wouldn't see me shed a tear.
But as long as they're here,
right? But at the same time, that's my thing. What is the difference between going and buying a pack of whatever cards over in the corner in Target you only see two people at ever, and going and spending the money on the game?
That's valid. That's actually a valid point.
Yeah. Now, I think so. I think the difference is in that stigma of video games and a young player base that isn't mature enough to make the decisions. But it's the same, like.
Where they parents at?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't anticipate too many, like, kids steal their mom's credit card and go to Target and buy Magic cards. Like, I don't think it's as rampant as the amount of kids who pick up their parents' tablet and buy a shitload of, like, you know, mobile game currency.
Yeah, because kids don't really go outside that much anyway, let alone a pack of kids. Like, sorry.
I mean, we have a resident kid on the show right here. Like, Nexi, what do you think of all this stuff? Because you play Magic the Gathering, and you play digital version, you play the actual version. Yeah. Are you spending a boatload of money on these?
I mean, I never really buy in-game, but because I don't like that thrill very, like, I don't get that thrill from opening loot boxes, all of that. It's just kind of whatever for me. Mm-hmm. But it's different when you're opening a pack of Magic cards and it's, like, right there, because it doesn't feel like there's, like, an algorithm hidden behind it, behind surprise mechanics.
Right.
Actually, that's valid. Well,
which is funny, because you don't feel that way, but part of the reason why you don't feel that way is because that algorithm happened in the manufacturing.
Yeah.
Because, like, it happened in the plant.
Yeah.
In Magic cards, you know you're going to get, you know, one rare at the very least, you know, and if you're lucky, you get a mythic rare, which are these bonuses. And it is kind of gambling, because those cards do have value in card shops.
Yeah.
And there's been times I've opened a pack and there's a $30 card. I go to the card store and exchange it for actual money. So I did kind of gamble and come up.
Yeah.
And it's also like talking about how some of these games, their loot boxes, they give you an advantage in the game. Well, opening those magic cards, you get a really good card, you have an advantage in the game. It's just not
pay to win.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh yeah, if you go to magic tournaments like with people, it's pay to win.
Yeah, so I was about to say, because if you got Joe Blow, whose daddy is a CEO at X, you know, startup or whatever, and they got boatloads of money, he can go into the shop and that card that you just sold, he can buy 10 of them.
Yeah.
He can buy all of them.
Yeah.
And then he won. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to draw the line. My whole thing is this, me being the rebellious person I am, yep. We know how corporations are. They're not charities. They're set up to make money. And where we live, that's all good. If I started a business, I want to be able to make as much money as I can. Ethically.
Why'd you say ethically in quotes?
Ethically?
You just ethically? Want to, yeah,
Curtis, he told us the first day he showed up to the studio, he said, I'm ethical and I'm a lot of fun.
I'm quite fun.
Yeah.
I'm quite fun and I'm quite ethical.
Y'all should have seen the red flags, right?
I am quite enjoyable.
But seriously, like, my whole thing is, we know how corporations are. I think we forget how we are, and we know how the government is. We got to stop calling on the government to try to save us. That's my whole thing. I'm not saying don't get them involved. Get them involved with XYZ, whatever. But I want us to get away from a whole thing like the government is going to save us, because voting with your wallet is the best way. Go tell your homies, hey, you know, people doing it on social media all the time. Hey, on this day for this week, nobody buy XYZ. Some people still will, but at least if you get the word out enough, some people won't, and it'll hit them. Yeah. That's going to speak louder to that corporation than anything, because at the end of the day, government is going to try to intervene, but how do they make money? By taxing.
Curtis. It all ties together.
I'm done. He brought it back full circle. That's it. That's perfect.
All right. Well, that's just in time for our next segment, which I have a theme song not loaded up. So, Curtis's Comic Book Corner, everybody.
Woohoo! What's going on, everyone? Shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for providing us dope comics.
Yet again.
Pulling out of the sleeve right here.
Let's go.
Batman Beyond.
Ooh!
Oh, snap!
I had a feeling that was going to get that reaction. Yeah. That's why I got this book. And another reason that I got it is because Dan Jurgens is a writer. Now, Dan Jurgens was on Superman before Brian Michael Bendis, who came over to DC, took over those two books. And everybody was loving Dan Jurgens. I didn't read much of that run, so I was like, you know what? Let me see what he does with Batman Beyond. And I was not a big fan. I didn't like Batman Beyond cartoon, but I was not the biggest fan of it. That was not the one I was rushing home every day to see. But my buddy Tom, who used to be with me on the Capeless Crusaders, he loves Batman Beyond. So I was like, all right, let me check this out. And you know what? The art surprised me. It's not very unique. It is very generic art, but it's solid. It's good. The coloring is awesome, so that's always cool. And Dan Jurgens threw in two surprises that I did not see coming.
Ooh, there's a twist?
There's some twists. And you know, and I was reading it, because I'm like, okay, it hasn't hit me yet. It's not bad, but it's not great. It hasn't hit me yet. And, oh my gosh, when I got to the first one, I was like, I had to go back a few pages, and I was like, wow, Dan Jurgens, good job, bro. I usually smell these things a mile away. So I was like, that's the big twist, right? And I'm like, okay, Dan Jurgens, you got me. I keep going, and I get to the last page, and there's another twist. And I'm like, I didn't see that one coming either, Dan Jurgens. Man. So I'm probably going to pick this series up, because I'm pretty impressed by what Dan Jurgens did. So if you like they captured the Batman the Animated Series pacing very well, too. So if you liked Batman the Animated Series, if you dig Terry McGinnis's Batman Beyond, and if you like good, simple writing with some good old-fashioned twists, go to Oblivion Comics and Coffee, pick up this book, tell them VGB sent you down, and mention Video Game Bang, you'll get 10% off of your purchase.
Dang. Yeah, oh, yo, man. So this ad, I'm looking at the comic book right now. Mm-hmm. First page, there's an ad for the Swamp Thing TV series.
That got canceled.
Wow. That one did not.
Didn't age well.
Did not age well.
Yeah, but definitely. Yeah, the first thing you see, right?
That's amazing. That's actually incredible.
Oh, DC, you can't make this stuff up.
I want to see the two guys who do look at that, and they're like, holy shit, they're making a Swamp Thing.
Oh.
What a debate.
Oh, man. And you know what happened too. But anyway, again, thanks to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for providing us with dope books. And we'll be back next week with two books that I'm really excited to share.
Nice. Yeah. Well, like we said, today, if you're watching the show live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang, you're going to watch two episodes be recorded back to back. So we're going to call this one a little bit early, but before we do, there was one news story we kind of saved towards the end, only because it's such a bummer. I'll let Curtis take it, because good bad news always comes better from good, cheery people. So, Curtis, what happened?
Surprised how cheery I am. Sad news. If you're in the Smash community, or even if you're not, it was trending on Twitter, but we did lose Etika. Who was a YouTuber in the Smash community, and he covered everything, a lot of other things too. He was a gamer, but he was a controversial figure, and you know, just to be transparent, I was not a big fan of him and his content, but I am in the Smash community, and I am very sympathetic, because ultimately what brought him to that point was another case of mental illness, and we see it taking lives, and we see it ruining lives, and we see it putting a damper on all of us. I'm sympathetic to that. So for everybody, check in with your friends, check in with yourselves too, because I know we get into the loop and, you know, we want to make content and we want to connect with people and all that stuff. But, you know, it's a reminder to take a step back. You have to check in with yourself, see how you're doing, and always keep your health first. You know what I mean? If you ever feel like you're getting to the point where you're getting overwhelmed and you want to keep pushing for this thing, if your health is starting to decline, you got to take a step back. And that's a hard lesson that I'm learning too. But for Etika and the whole Smash community, the YouTube community, and anybody that he ever touched, because he did have some really dope moments where he did, like, he was, you know, a guy that did have a big heart. So I just want to say, you know, check in with your people. You know, much love to Etika. Next time you play some Smash, you know, take a stock off and then point up to the sky for the boy, you know what I mean? Because he's up there, hopefully smiling down, but he gets to rest in peace now. So I'll end it like that. So, but y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of your health, especially your mental health.
David, have you started to kick off the streaming yet? What's going on over there?
No, not yet. Maybe soon. I don't know.
Or maybe not.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
You do you, man. the absence is making your rabid fans grow more fond.
That's right.
At a certain point, it becomes where I'm like, okay, well, I can't live up to this hype. And I'm just going to come out and say that I'm doing subscriber-only streams.
Nexi, what's your content schedule been looking like?
I've kind of not had a schedule. Whenever I stream, I just start around 6 p.m. Pacific, and we've been playing a lot of Nintendo Switch games because I got an Elgato, and I'm excited.
What?
Hey. Yeah, we're doing 100% Breath of the Wild plus DLC. Jeez. I'm gonna. Yikes.
So,
why do I hate myself?
Yeah.
You have to find out the cacao seeds
for that. Cacao?
Cacao!
Yeah. Where are the cacao seeds? Are they?
Korok?
Korok seeds.
Korok seeds?
Cacao seeds.
Oh,
cacao.
My God.
I think it's a chocolate.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It's healthy chocolate.
Is it?
Yeah.
So anyways, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to find all 900 Korok seeds. Trying to find all 900 little tiny poopies for one giant golden poopy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no matter when you listen to this, if you go to NexusWasHere_ on Twitch, you'll probably see her still grinding this game.
Still
looking for cacao.
5 years later.
Curtis, you've been streaming, but you stream on multiple channels. You're all over the place. Yeah. Where can people watch you?
Sometimes I'll be on my channel, which is twitch.tv/skipintosh. Only an I in skip. So SKIPNTOSH. You can check me out there reading comics and whatnot and playing a little bit of 2K. But also our old basketball podcast Twitch channel, I decided to start streaming on there again just to see if I could strike up some NBA convos with people while I'm gaming. So you might catch me on No Hezzy Hoops on Twitch. So just put in No Hezzy Hoops. It could be Leak on there streaming, maybe. Could be me.
Ooh,
could
Leak. Be both Leak streaming?
Leak streaming. Oh, and shoot, right. A and it, Corey might show up as well. But there's another little project that I haven't told anybody about that hasn't happened yet. But I'm meeting with a certain person at the California Classic Summer League NBA next week. And there might be another little thing that I'll be working on. We'll see.
Oh my gosh. Snap. It's Vlade Divac.
Don't tell everybody. Vlade's going to get mad at me.
Don't want Vladdy mad at you.
I've been streaming a lot more just on my channel, twitch.tv/whatsuppizzas. Just a lot of Overwatch. It's like, I think I got a gaming addiction because I get mad and I want to play other stuff, mm-hmm. but I just keep going back to Old Faithful because I know I can get in, like, you know, a couple rounds in a given amount of time.
Yeah.
I was so close to Diamond and then I, you know, overshot and then I ended up, like, falling terribly. So I rage quite a bit, but it's just good conversations, good times. So if you want to hang out, let's do so. And like we said, if you're listening to this episode wondering, man, they're cutting my episode short, it's because episode 500. It's going to be huge, huge.
Terrible. I knew that was coming.
It's coming out this weekend. So stay tuned. Video Game Bang's hitting episode 500, debuting that brand new theme song with special guests Mega Ran and Janice Davis. So thank you guys so much for listening. For Nexus Was Here, the real David Webb, Curtis Fisher, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.